Hi everyone, this is Tracy Malone. Do you know how many breaths that you take a minute? It's supposed to be about 12 to 18 breaths. That's 900 breaths an hour. And I'm not going to multiply it any further than that. But why I'm telling you this is that someone with COVID-19, like myself, is counting their breaths. Today is day 9 since my diagnosis of COVID-19. And it's about 17 days since I traveled back from vacation and two airports, two planes. My symptoms started at first with a heaviness in my chest about 2 days after I got home. Felt like a brick was on my chest, and the shortness of breath was soon to follow, where I could walk to the kitchen and be winded. I live in Colorado, so we were, coming back from sea level. I sort of thought about these things as just getting back to altitude, and not that I ignored them, because there was always that COVID fear in the back of everyone's mind, I guess. But I did make an excuse for it and say, I don't have anything else. I don't have a fever. I don't have the things that they're talking about on TV. I should be okay. About 3 days after I was home, I called my doctors. And I had heard on the news very little while I was away. But I did hear that if you wanted a test, that you could get a test. And so I called my doctor for a test. I was very concerned about exposing anyone to me, or was this altitude adjustment, or was I sick? I wanted to protect my child. I wanted to protect the people, and I needed groceries. The other symptoms that I experienced were extreme headaches, and I was taking Advil. Don't yell at me, I already know, for a week before that whole don't take Advil thing came out. I was battling a drippy nose. It was never stuffy. So friends were saying, get a neti pot. It was never like a cold. It just was strange, just there. So because I was away, I really didn't have the fear and the drama for all the time that you guys did, 2 weeks without knowing what was going on in the world. And I wanted that test. So I called my doctor, my new doctor, on my new insurance that I pay a lot of money for every month. And they said, call back when you have a fever. So I got off the phone. They didn't give me any advice. They didn't answer my questions. They just said, call back if you have a fever. So I had to shop. I had no groceries. I had no food. And I needed to go out there. And when I first saw the shelves of food that were empty and the toilet paper and paper towel aisle, I just cried. I had seen the images my son had sent while I was away, and I couldn't imagine what it was like. And I know you've all been there. My concerns started to grow as I felt myself getting weaker and more winded. For those of you who are going to say that you can hardly hear me on this video, it's because if I talk any louder, I will probably not be able to talk. My mouth is very dry, my throat is dry, my lungs are struggling for sure, but I'm on the other side, and I'm here to tell you that there's hope, and let's start that right now. As I saw my symptoms progressing, I was still waiting for that fever that the first doctor told me to wait for. You don't have the fever, just keep on going, doing what you're doing. So I kept on working, and I started to wonder, well, what if I just have bronchitis? What if it's pneumonia? What if it's just something else? Why won't a doctor see me? So I called my doctor again, and went through this whole COVID screening person and got to the scheduling desk. And the scheduling lady went to put my name in and said, I'm sorry, Miss Malone, but you've never been here and we're not accepting new patients. Well, they were the doctor assigned to my insurance, and I didn't know what to do. So I decided to bite the bullet, and no matter what it cost me, I would go back to my old doctor. And despite not being covered on insurance, and they saw me within 24 hours. What I mean by they saw me was they did a call. They listened to my symptoms, the timeline of my travel, the four planes, the four airports I was in, and just basically, you know, the timeline of what my symptoms had been as I got back and how they've progressed. That doctor diagnosed me on the phone with COVID-19. I asked the doctor about the COVID test. I wanted it. I'd heard it on the news that I could get it if I wanted it. And clearly I needed to protect my family. And if I was ever to go to a store again, which I'm not, don't worry. I just want to make sure that I don't continue to spread this unknowing. So could I get the test? And my doctor said there just aren't enough in Colorado. They're only using the tests when they're entering people into a hospital so that they could quarantine them and have COVID attire on the doctors. So I understand all that, but what I didn't understand was what my doctor told me next is that 85% of the cases and the people that get COVID-19 are not going to end up in the hospital. That's 1% of the people. It's not all of us. Some of us are going to recover at home within a week or two, some with fever and some without fever. You are safer at home than you are when you are going to a hospital and being exposed to a whole array of other people having other things. There are 8 strains of this COVID-19. At least that's what a friend told me. So if there's 9 or something, don't, you know, you can put it in the comments below, but I'm going based on a million texts from my friends. And I was lucky to get the strain that is affecting my bronchial system. I'm weak, I'm dizzy, I have no energy at all because I'm just not getting the oxygen into my lungs. My doctor told me to treat the symptoms that I have, and that meant taking Tylenol if I could instead of the Advil, and taking Mucinex for the chest congestion, which was bringing me the heaviness and a lot of the shortness of breath. I wanna, in my mind, think that it's like those little Mucinex green bubble guys that are like shooting the germs. I wanna think that they're in there working right now. And it's not a commercial, but I'm pretty sure they've saved me. She told me to do all that and rest. So I canceled all my schedules. I canceled all of my clients and my appointments, and I hit the sofa. It becomes very real when you say it. It's one thing to hear it and go, I'm going to be one of those 85%, but it's another thing to say it. When you say it, it becomes very real. Anything does, right? But as I told friends that next day, I got off the phone call and I cried. And I wondered, and the fear crept in. Am I going to die? Am I going to be one that has to go on a ventilator and there isn't one? That's a fear, right? Everyone's so scared of that. These thoughts were taking up my brain, and I knew that it was becoming very real. I don't want to make light of my symptoms or put myself in a place to compare with some of the people that are in hospitals and dying. I know that we all have a different journey. What my goal here is to tell you that that there is hope and there are different types of this. So not to let fear run away with you, not to let yourself become fearful of everything, because as you lay there, laying on the couch or in your bed and you're trying to recover, I want you to be as mentally grateful for what you have. And as you see images like nobody in Times Square, that was a scary scene to see. It reminded me very much of the scenes we saw after September 11th. And it brought back all that compound fear of the end of the world, right? When you see that picture of New York, or Times Square, I don't want you to think, oh my God, the world is ending. Turn it around in your head and think, thank God they're listening. Thank God they're listening. When you see the portable hospitals being built in the Javits Center or in your own town, when you see warships that are hospital ships coming on shore to rescue our people, yes, that is so scary, and we have never lived through anything like this. But what you need to turn it around and think is, thank God we're getting the help we needed. Thank God we live in a country that has giant warships with 1,000 beds that can help treat our people and save the ones that don't have COVID and get them out of that hospital onto their own boat to be protected. Thank God the hotel chains, which are depleting and losing money anyway, are stepping in and offering their rooms. Thank God the doctors and nurses have the courage to get up every morning and go to work, even though I guarantee you they are scared to death. They're risking their families. They're risking their lives. And they know it's their duty to be there. So if all of these people can do all this stuff, we can stay in bed. We can stay home. If we don't stay home, this isn't going to end. We've seen a little tiny, tiny plateau in other countries where staying home mattered. So stay home now. The last part I want to talk to you about, and I know this is long, sorry, is this past Friday, it's Sunday now, this past Friday I was feeling a little better, and I was very hopeful, and I had more energy, and by more energy means I could wash my hair and curl it without needing to go back to bed after just the shower for 4 hours because I was so weak. That was good. So I probably pushed it. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. You really can't hold me down. I normally work 12-hour days, so sitting around watching TV has just been like very hard to do. But I've been doing it. So Friday, I took a shower, I curled my hair, and I coached some people, and I did an online men's support group to bring together men from 3 different states that were all struggling at this time. And I saved my strength for that. I curled my hair for that, and I got through it, and it went really well. But my routine was different. I'd been on the couch for so long. I had a coffee table with my Metamucil and my vitamins and my thermometer and all of the things, or even a battery pack and, you know, my Apple chargers. It was the station for me to be sick because I'd been laying there in bed. I went right to bed after that that call, and I didn't sit at my table to see that my medicine was still there. You know, COVID gets worse at night. Everybody's been saying that. I mean, any cold does. Think about it. If you've got congestion, you've got pneumonia, if you've ever had that, if you've ever had bronchitis, like, I don't know why the congestion just gets so much worse at night. And on Friday, I went to sleep thinking, oh my goodness, I'm on the other side. I'm better. And I woke up at 2:00 in the morning with the thickest mucus I've ever seen in my life, coughing up, wouldn't even come out. I was choking on my phlegm. Thanks, I know you really like that part. But I realized then it was because my routine was off and I was taking for granted that this was just a normal cold or something and I was over it. This is my warning to you. It's not. And don't forget your medicine. So I got up at that and took the medicine at 2 a.m. and after trying and trying to go back to sleep, and realizing that just like not having my body elevated was making me choke. And so I propped up my pillows and watched Heartland again for the next 2 hours. And I was so much weaker yesterday for it. The weakness and the change in routine and everything else. isn't a good thing. So really stay in bed, even if you think you're better. Stay down. I'm going to. I've been doing it all weekend except for thinking about this video. I don't want to scare you by sharing my journey. And I'm not doing this to get oh boy likes, comments, get well, Tracy. I'll welcome those, but I'm not doing it for that reason. I am doing it because I want to educate you to know that this isn't a death sentence, and to let your fear, not let your fear control you. Yes, we're going to lose some other humans, but it's 1%. Boundaries. Viruses don't know boundaries. They really don't. You know, it doesn't care if you're rich or poor, if you're black or white, if you're healthy or not healthy. Even young, healthy people are getting this. All we can do is take care of ourselves and our family. We have to protect ourselves, and that means stay home. That means wear masks. That means take your clothes off when you get home. I know there's more fears to come, but we can look at them differently. Remember, we talked about Times Square and the Javits Centers. I encourage you to look at everything that way, through the light of love versus fear. And when you see the stories of the numbers going up, every time you see them pray, send prayers up to God to help those families that can't have a funeral. They couldn't even be there when they died. There's so much pain in this world that is going to be a reaction to everything that's happening. Pray for them. Pray that you're not next. Pray for your friends, that they are being safe. Love your friends. Love your family. I told my friends, my personal friends on Facebook earlier last week, and the outpouring of love that I received from people from so many chapters of my life brought joy to my heart every time I looked at it, despite the fact that I didn't have the energy to answer all of them. It's kept me going. So be the light for someone else if you can. If you're stronger, ask a neighbor if they need something. If you're going out anyway, can you save two people from going out to the store and buy them oranges? Help someone else. I believe that this pandemic has happened, and it's going to make us all as a planet more generous and more grateful. And it's going to close gaps that have been there before. It's going to make the selfish, except for narcissists, unselfish. Think about that. The TP stealers, you know who you are. Hope is that the political divide that has taken us will close as well, and let all of humanity be fighting this together. Not the red or the blue, or China, or Germany, or any other country in us. We are all fighting this together. And together we can heal. I've always said that. Thank you for listening. And if you know someone that is struggling at a stay-home order to recover on their own, send them this video. I'm hoping that it will, once again, give light and hope, because we can't listen to the fear all day. We do have to go on and listen to success. And I'm hoping I'm going to be one of those 85. Hold on to that, too. This is Tracy. That's all I've got. Thank you for listening.